Well, happy Mother's Day, everyone. I am sure that some of you might be able to relate to that, and that makes me feel so much better. My kids aren't quite that bad, but you know. The next slide. I imagine most of you do know me. I've got a few slides today, and I'm trying to not. Can you see that okay? So this is me and my family, minus Sean, because this was actually taken last Mother's Day. And we have three children, three and under. And I hopped on Facebook this morning and I realised that I actually have another two children, which made me a bit teary when he walked in this morning. And I should have had a picture of Josh and Taylor up there too, because they have been very much part of my motherhood journey. And it also made me realise that we are mothers in many spaces, not just in our own household, but we are mothers to our nieces and nephews. We are mothers to school children. We are mothers in lots of different spaces that we find ourselves in. So happy Mother's Day to you all. I guess I absolutely love being a mother. It is one of my biggest joys in life, probably alongside the greatest challenge in life. And my kids are all different. Mason has this orange round thing that he likes to bounce and shoot, and he can't get enough of that. Darcy, she's quite scientific-minded. Jono will know that she did not get that from me. But she's very adventurous as well. She had me climbing ropes yesterday in Launceston, which was so much fun. I thought I'd be sore today, but I'm actually not. And if you have a spirited and a strong-willed child, big hugs to you. Let's watch this next little clip.
Mom, can I get $20?
Does it look like I'm made of money?
Ain't that what mom stands for? M-O-M, made of money.
I'm sure some mums will relate to that. We're always made of money, apparently. And then Darcy tells me last month that Dad is actually Don't Ask Dad. I'm not sure if that's true or not. But I want to start today, thank you, Jono, for your prayer, because I do want to start today by acknowledging that it may be hard for some of you, but I'm really grateful that you still came out today. And maybe you have lost your mum, maybe your mum is away and you wish that she was here, maybe you're missing your kids today because they live somewhere else, or maybe today is hard because you're praying for something and you haven't had the answer that you're looking for. So whatever makes today hard, thank you for coming. And I'm sorry, and we stand with you as a church family. And I pray today that you will know the love of God. Because even though today is often about love, feeling love, receiving love, giving love, I want us all to know God's love. So we're going to begin this morning by hearing from a few mums, so they might like to come up together, and I've asked them to share something about being a mum. Don't be shy.
I'll get mine over and done with. Morning, everybody. So Bron asked us to share, I guess, highlight or a prayer point or an answer to prayer or a memory or a funny story about being a mum. But so, as most of you know, I'm a mum of three gorgeous young men who are now 21, 19 and 17 years old. Not sure where that time's gone, but like Bron, I love being a mum. And yes, there are hard times sometimes, but, you know, the good far outweighs the bad. And I especially love the age that they are now. Like, every age has been pretty good, but when they get older, you can just have that, I don't know, those sort of jokes or a bit of banter with them and stir them up. And it just, yeah, it's really nice to, I guess, have a friendship as well as them, as well as being a mum to them. But I'm a bit breathless. One of the highlights, I guess, that I could say at the moment, and it's just also an answer to prayer and something, I guess, that we've prayed for since the day they were born, is that they would follow God and serve and attend church. And, you know, that's a real answer to our prayer. You know, I'm thankful even now that, you know, as they get older and have things, I guess, pulling them in all kinds of directions, where it's not just us saying you have to go to church because you're our kids kind of thing, that they choose to do that. They see a relationship with God and coming along to church as an important thing most of the time. Yes, I'm really grateful and thankful to God for that. And, you know, when anyone comes to church, it's important that they feel a sense of belonging and, you know, like they matter and that they're important. And I guess I want to thank you as a church for the encouragement that you've given my kids over the years, and, you know, all the other kids in the church as well, because, you know, as they get to teenagers, sometimes they're not that keen to talk or they want to shoot out the door straight after church. But, you know, there's many of you who have, you know, regularly tried to engage with them and encourage them and ask me about them or all those kind of things. And, I really appreciate that, even though sometimes there might be awkward conversations that you're both standing there sort of thinking, what will we say? I know that they appreciate the effort that you put in. So, yeah, I guess I want to thank you guys for that. So keep doing it. Keep encouraging them as well as all the other kids in the church. And, you know, as this day and age, there aren't heaps of kids and teenagers going along to church. So to make them feel like they belong is really important. So thank you. Keep up the great work.
Morning. Happy Mother's Day to all the mums in the house. I'm Donna. I'm mum to one adoptive son. But when I look at him, I don't see him as an adoptive son. And I wasn't going to get emotional, but there you go. No, I don't see him as an adopted son. He was born from my heart, and I couldn't love him more if I tried. It was today, 4 days ago. Oh, dear. Why was that? Oops, sorry. All right. It was today, 4 days ago, that we landed in Tasmania for our first Mother's Day. Damien and I left Tassie in April 16th, arrived in Thailand April 17th, met Ace April 18th, and then he became a part of our family April 19th. We were supposed to be back in Tassie later that month, about the 25th, but of course Thailand works on their own schedule and paperwork didn't come through, and he didn't have a passport because he didn't have a last name or identity. So, he flew home on an IMI card. So we didn't arrive back to Tasmania until Mother's Day. So after 26 days of staying in Thailand, sleeping together in a king-size bed, working with a language barrier, we flew into Wynyard with our families there with balloons and banners, and a special afternoon tea at the airport. So that's one we'll always remember. I just want to... Ace is a testimony of God's goodness, prayers that are answered, and love. And we thank God for his joy and that God chose him to be our son. So out there this morning, mums, I just want to remind the mums of adult children, the mums of toddlers, the mums that have arms yearning to hold a newborn, that the mums that don't know whether they're Arthur or Martha, working hard, running a household, or being a mum, whatever season you are in, that God hears your prayers. He sees your hard labour and he's right there beside you. And he will answer those prayers that are yearning in your heart, like he has answered ours.
Good morning. Thanks, Bron, for asking me to share. Do you want to pop that photo up, Gideon? For those that don't know me, I'm Jackie and I'm a mum to six kids. The youngest is 14, the eldest is 23. I've put a photo up there from last Christmas. You'll recognise the three youngest ones. They're often here at church with us. The three older ones are now all living independently, technically. We all know that life as a mum, it can be amazing, but it can also be difficult. I used to think when the kids were all little, it was really tough and tiring, time-consuming and exhausting. However, I'm quickly realising that being a mum to adults can also be really tough. It's just a different kind of tough. Over the last week or so, I've had some tough conversations with three of our kids, things around sadness, anxiety, frustration, anger and worry, work, finances, stress, the list goes on. While it isn't unusual to have these talks, it was unusual to have so many so close together, and I was starting to feel a bit low. On Wednesday night this last week, I'd had one of those conversations with one of the kids. They had to go out and were planning to talk again once they got home. I was feeling low, as I've mentioned, and I'd been messaging my sister about it. And in the middle of it all, I got a text message. "Hi, Jackie. How are you? I'm asking some mums to share on Sunday at Dream Builders and wondering if you would like to. Just 1 to 2 minutes on being a mum. Could be a funny story, answer to prayer, struggle, highlight a memory. Please let me know if you'd be able to share. Thanks, Bron." So I copied Bron's text and I sent it to my sister and I'm like, what do I say? And her reply, well, yes. And so then I asked, well, what do I do after that? I said, they're all falling apart. Her reply was the shoulder shrug emoji. So very helpful, big sister. Then the following morning, I was talking to another friend about it, and she made the comment that life as a mum is full of seasons. And I thought, oh, that's it. I can talk about that. So then I replied to Bron. I'm not sure what she meant by seasons, but I took it literally. So I thought about spring, and I'm reminded of daffodils and baby lambs, all fresh and new. And summer is sunshine and warmth. Autumn is a season of change and moving to something different. And then winter, that can be cold and hard and dark. And sometimes that's okay. You're sort of like, oh, it's raining again, here we go. But other times it can feel like that villain castle in a Disney movie. You know, it's black and it's dark and it's thundery and gargoyles. Kind of like the castle of despair. So I decided that I'd tell you a story. I'm going to travel back 17 years and tell you a story about the few months after Georgia was born and the summer, autumn, winter and spring of motherhood. So Georgia was born, I'd gone into labour in the middle of the night. She was born at 8 in the morning. Now when she was first born, she does know I'm going to talk about it, but she doesn't know exactly what I'm going to say. She needed a bit of help breathing and the midwife was looking after her over on the resuscitation equipment. The GP arrived soon after and I can still remember very clearly, and I can picture it in my mind, and I can remember the midwife saying to him, "Can you come and have a look at this?" He went and checked Georgia and he came over to us. And he said that Georgia was showing signs that she had Down syndrome. He went and got her, brought her over, showed us what he meant. Now, as part of that syndrome, there can be other health concerns, including heart issues. So the decision was pretty easy. We had to be transferred to Burnie. So she was born here in Smithton, in what's now my tea room at work, which is really weird, but anyway. So it was pretty apparent that something was wrong with her heart, and the decision, after she'd been in Burnie for a few hours, the decision was made to fly to Hobart to have a more comprehensive heart assessment. Once we arrived in Hobart, we learned that she did indeed have a major heart defect and that she would need open heart surgery in the next few months. During that time in Hobart, she actually wasn't too unwell. She didn't need oxygen support, she didn't need specialist medications. However, because of the heart defect, Georgia didn't have the stamina to drink. So I was expressing breast milk for her. She would have some of her feed from like one of these funny little easy feed bottles, and the rest was given to her through a tube. 10 days old, she was well enough to be transferred back to Burnie, closer to home, which was great. The focus of her care really became feeding her so that she would put weight on so that she could have her surgery. So during that time, I was staying with my sister in Burnie. I'd go in every day to express, do her cares, express, help feed her, express. And then when she was, and Dick was at home with the other kids and his parents. When Georgia got to about 3 weeks old, the paediatricians were talking about her ongoing care because her surgery was still a couple of months away. And we were given 3 options. Number one, keep doing what we were doing in Burnie with me going in every day. Option 2, leave Georgia in Burnie, I go home and they look after her. And then option 3 was to take her home. Pretty easy choice as far as I was concerned, we were going home. I had a crash course in nasogastric tubes, how to check it, use it, replace it, and we were out of there. Now I think about our family at that stage. Second photo, darling. Sorry, it's my son on the projector. So this was our little family at the time. So Nicholas was 5 and a half and in kinder, Eli was 4, Holly was 3, oh, 2, sorry, and that's little baby Georgia. So at this stage, Dick was managing a dairy farm and working really long hours, probably something like 60 to 80 hours a week. I was a stay-at-home mum and had been for a while, looking after the kids, all the usual stuff, and now caring for a baby with feeding difficulties. I continued to express for Georgia full-time. Sorry. Starting a feeds with a bottle and then finishing with a tube feed. And I learnt very quickly you can't hurry a tube feed. There's a thing called the dumping effect. If you put it in too quick, it will just come straight back out again. So we continued this routine until Georgia had surgery at about 10, 11 weeks old. And at the time, I really didn't think much about it. I did it because I was Georgia's mum, that's what I had to do. A few months later, though, Dick did the maths, because he does maths, and he worked out that I would have spent about 8 hours a day just to express and feed Georgia without all the other stuff that I needed to fit in a day. How I did it, I don't know. Well, I sort of do. That's a story for another day. So when I think about this and the seasons that I've already described, I went through them all at the time, and I went through them multiple times. But the one I wanted to talk about was the day Georgia was born. So she was born at 8 o'clock in the morning, and I think in that next 12 hours I went through every four season. The spring of new life, welcoming a new person into the world. The summer of having a new daughter coming into our growing family. The autumn of realising that change was on the way, and then the winter when we realised that Georgia was quite unwell. This is where I need a tissue. And having to see her taken away for transfer to Hobart and not being able to go with her. That was a Disney villain castle moment. I've been asked numerous times how I managed everything in the early months. To be honest, I don't know. I did it because as a mum, that's what I do. I work hard to meet the needs of my kids, and that's what I keep doing now with my adult kids. I still go through seasons, probably not all in one day quite so quickly, and I need to remind myself that when things are tough, when I'm in the winter of motherhood and when I'm sitting in my Disney villain castle, curled up in a ball with my gargoyles, that other seasons are happening too. There's the joy of watching the kids grow into delightful young people, making mature and good choices, showing love and care to us, their siblings and other people around them. They're making me proud, they make me laugh, they make me feel loved, and they are why I'm a mum.
Thank you so much, ladies. And I really, it's just amazing what you shared because, Nicole, I wanted to really encourage you and thank you for modelling to us as mothers of the importance of bringing your children to church. And I know that that's not easy, but I really wanted to just appreciate you as a family that we see that and that is something that we aspire to. So thank you, Nicole. And Donna, your little boy, you and Damo have done an incredible job, and to see Ace wrap his arms around you, look into your eyes and tell you that he loves you, just there is something so precious about that. But Donna, I wanted to encourage you because you're not just a mother to Ace. You champion on so many other mothers in our community, and that is a real gift, and I just want to encourage you to keep going in that. Jackie, six kids. I do take my hat off to you, and you are a great mum. And we acknowledge that being a mother to our beautiful Georgia does bring its challenges, but as a church, we thank you for the joy that she brings to us. I don't know if people see her throughout the week, I get to, but on a Sunday morning, she lights up our heart. So we love you and we love your family. Cynthia's actually going to bring you a little gift around, so she might do that now. While she's doing that, there is one other mother that I'd like to acknowledge this morning, and that is my beautiful mum. She's going to be... But I've always known the love of my mother, and I've always wanted to be like her since I was a little girl. I remember dressing up like her. I remember trying to sound like her, and I would even say to my dolls, "It's okay, dear. I know, dear." But my mum is a mum who prays earnestly for her children, for her grandchildren, for her family. And the way that she models family to us is just a reflection of the Father. And I am blessed to call you my mum. And I guess I can only share today because of you. Dad may have had a little part, but happy Mother's Day, Mum. And I guess although this part of our service is slanted towards mothers, I really pray that you'll all be encouraged somehow this morning. When Matt asked me to share and encourage mothers today, I thought about Mother's Day services, and I thought a lot about how I hear the passage read of Proverbs 31. Don't get me wrong, that's a great passage. There is so much gold in that, and I love it. But far out. She is Superwoman, hey. I think if I scrolled through Facebook and found her, I'd be quickly scrolling past because I would be like, oh my gosh, I'm so jealous right now. But then I was thinking, to top it all off, her husband writes songs and poems about her. Has anyone else had their husband write a song or a poem? Nicole, have you? Matt, have you? Oh, wow, I'd like to hear that. Anyway, Sophia is going to help me out a little bit this morning. We're going to read Proverbs 31. I think it's on the screen.
Wait, you sure we want to do this after what you just said?
I'm sure.
A wife of microphone capacity is discovered when the speakers turn on.
It's on.
Oh, it's on.
Yes, I turned it on.
Okay.
I mean, you can all hear me, but...
Good.
How are we going? Yeah. Alrighty. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still night. She provides food for her family and portions for her female servants. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. Her hands are busy spinning thread, her fingers twisting fibre. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected in the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive, and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate.
Love from your loving husband and children. Matt, is that how your love letter went to Nicole? Something like that. That's great. I mean, come on. In her spare time, she works out. They never run out of anything in her household. She does charity work in her spare time. She owns her own successful business. She's not afraid of the future. In fact, she laughs and says, bring it on. I doubt she binges on junk food while watching Netflix and her children are fighting in another room and her husband's there farting and burping in the lounge chair. I can't really picture that about Proverbs 31. And I think, as I hear some of that referred to or being preached on Mother's Day, I myself know this, but I think others are shrinking in their chairs, thinking, I don't make clothes, except Jackie does. I probably drink wine, but I don't make it. Some of us probably have baby poo under their fingernails or spaghetti stuck to our clothes. But as I did think about this passage, I can't imagine if it was Solomon that wrote this passage. Does anyone know that? I feel like it's a bit of a... not Solomon? I'm going to pretend it was because he was pretty wise, wasn't he? I reckon he oversaw whoever did write that anyway. So I can't imagine if it was Solomon or not who wrote this, being such a wise man. Here's the bar. Good luck. But you're never going to measure up. Even if you have received a first place Mother of the Year or something, it's still not going to be enough. Because I actually think the key is in verse 30, where it says, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Because you can have the most awesome resume, but none of it is going to mean anything unless you fear the Lord. And fearing the Lord means to respect him, and it means to put him in the proper place in your life. And I love hearing some of the journeys of the ladies this morning, because God loves us in our mess. He's actually not waiting for us to become the perfect mum or the perfect anyone. And I think knowing that truth changed some of my life, because I knew that I would never measure up to that as much as I tried. But what a goal, what a desire, what a passion in life, and I guess even more, how good it would be to be remembered as a woman who feared the Lord no matter what we face in life. And I wonder what your response would be if I asked you what our biggest problems as females might be. What is it? What is our biggest problem as a female? Having to cook every night, yeah. Meal planning, that is a problem. Did I hear someone say men? Could be men. But I think, all jokes aside, true or not true, I actually wonder if the biggest problem we have is that we listen to the wrong voices. Most of the time we listen to voices and we compare ourselves to the wrong things, perhaps to find value, perhaps to find identity. But if we remember who we are, does it matter what other people think? But so often we become consumed with that. We become consumed with what's going on around us, and it is easy for us to lose sight of who we really are. So I wonder who it is in your life that you're listening to tell you who you are, or what it is or who it is in your life that you're listening to know your worth. The wrong voices can tell us that we should have done this. We should have spent so much more time with our kids. We should look like this, we should do that, this and that, yeah? Yep. We need to be very quick at shutting down the voice that says you're not good enough. Are we listening to the voice that we will never measure up? Or are we listening to the voice of God and living a life that fears him? And I guess sometimes that's relatively easy when things are going well. But what about when they're not? What about when we are faced with pain and heartache? We invited some mothers into our school on Wednesday to celebrate and encourage them. It was really well attended. And the mothers wrote a little word on a heart that best described themselves as a mother.
The glue. Oh, wow.
I'm over here.
Thanks. The glue of the family. Love, nurturing, sacrifice, selfless, mother of all trades, busy, superwomen, unconditional, comfort, teacher, strength, warrior, incredible, happy, strength, brave, everything. Teach life skills, protector, encouraging, mentor, safe place, resilience.
Thank you, Sophia. There was one word amongst all of those, I don't know if you can see it, but it says slave. Now, that may or may not have been a bit of a joke, because I can relate to that, and sometimes we kind of feel like a slave. But it made me wonder, what other words, if we were really honest, what other words would we write on those hearts that describe ourselves? And some of those words won't be what God says about us. And we really need to squash those thoughts, and we need to remember that we are, next slide,
forgiven, treasured, set free, transformed, complete, sons and daughters of the King, new creations, unique, loved, born again, conquerors. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We have the peace that passes all understanding.
Excellent. And there are loads more if you open the Word of God. And on good days, we probably hear these words and we probably feel God's love. But what about when we're not facing good days? When days are hard, what happens when we don't feel God's love? I wonder then, is that perhaps when we're starting to listen to the wrong voices. We can't afford for God's love to just be a feeling. We need to know the love of God in every single season, thanks Jackie, of our lives. So when hard times do come, without a doubt, we know that we are loved by Him. We may not feel it, but we need to know that we are loved by Him. We need to be quick at shutting down the voice of the enemy, and we need to listen to the voice of the Lord and to fear the Lord. Because we know that the enemy is always on the prowl, and we need to be aware of his attacks. I know some of you are aware of some of the journey that we've been on over the past 5 years with Darcy. Actually, it was 5 years last week. But for those who don't, I'll just share a little background, as this would be one of my hardest journeys and absolutely my most challenging of a mother. We'll go next slide. Darcy was 8 years old when she almost died. I remember the nurse telling me that my world was about to change dramatically. And I also remember calling Dad and Jenny, just crying, knowing that our little girl was so sick, but we didn't know what was wrong with her. It took the doctor 5 times to insert the cannula, as she was so dehydrated and her little body was starting to go into a coma. But it was so amazing that on the 5th time, the doctor verbally out loud, so I heard it, said, "Help me, Jesus," and in it went. And I remember thinking days later, why didn't he ask the 1st time? I actually don't know. But if you know Dr. T, God used him to save our little girl, and he's pretty special to our family. So Darcy was quickly transported to Burnie via ambulance and was met with at least 11 doctors and nurses who knew exactly what she needed at the time. It wasn't long until she was transferred to ICU, having more cannulas inserted with liquid and insulin pumping through her little body, and she was wired up with monitors. At that point, pretty much that picture, I looked at my little girl. That was probably a day or so later. I was pretty broken. She looked pretty sad, pretty lifeless. Over the days, we learnt that Darcy had ketoacidosis and type 1 diabetes. Darcy responded positively to the medications and became well quite quickly. And after a few days, she was transported to the children's ward, and then a few nights there, we were home. But it was an absolutely overwhelming time for us. We were devastated that Darcy was so unwell, and we felt like she'd been ripped off. And, you know, the Bible says the enemy comes to steal, kill and destroy. And I really felt like he had attacked my little girl. And I was even angry at God. I don't know if that's okay, but I was angry at God because I prayed the whole way in the ambulance asking for God to heal her, but I felt like he didn't. And we felt pretty alone. But you know what? Deep down, our roots of faith assured us, what does Jesus do? He comes to give life to the fullest. And we do absolutely believe that for Darcy. I mean, look at her now. That picture was taken last year. She had me rope climbing yesterday. You just wouldn't know the journey, the amazing journey that she has been on. And obviously, we have experienced many different emotions relating to this. And I've had to shut the voice of the enemy down so many times as I've wrestled through this. But we are certainly aware of God's peace and strength and daily presence in our lives. And I guess I knew from a young age that life isn't fair. And there have been many times that I've cried out to God, telling him, this is not fair. Why can't I have type 1 diabetes? Why does my little girl have to have that? That's the heart of the mother, yeah? We were given a movie to watch a few months probably later called Miracles of Heaven. Not sure if anyone has seen that. But there was a quote from Albert Einstein that says, there are only 2 ways to live your life, as though nothing is a miracle or as though everything is a miracle. If we keep looking at the problem, we miss the things around us because there is gold and good everywhere. We just need to speak them out. My students will know that I get them to do a gratitude journal or speak out the good things that is happening around them and naming them up. And we do try and live as though every day is a miracle. I have a peace that is unexplainable. I can't afford to listen to the voice of the enemy. And even though I pray for a miracle every day, even if this is how it is, I know without a doubt that we are loved by God. Some days we don't feel it, but I know we are. And there is no voice that is louder than his. I wonder what it has been that's a challenge for you. We've heard some today. Or maybe has been or is a challenge for you. And what voices are you listening to? Do you know the love of God even in the tough times? You know, I want to be set apart. I want to be different the way that I walk through the tough stuff in life. Does it mean I'll always get it right? Does it mean I'm not human? Does it mean I'll have days when I won't be broken and sad? Absolutely not. But I want to walk the journey with Jesus, knowing how much he does love me. When I listen to the voice of God, I hear that there is hope when there is no hope. I hear there is peace when there is no peace. And I hear that there is joy when there is no joy. It does absolutely take courage to run well when life is tough. It does. But I'm so glad that we have a loving Father who talks to us through the Holy Spirit, and we can hear his voice. And I guess people are watching us as Christian mums. We may not think about that too much, but they're watching how we as Christian mums walk through the tough stuff in our life. Yep, it hurts. But I often just come back to this passage in 1 Corinthians 6.
People are watching us as we stay at our post, alertly, unswervingly. In hard times, tough times, bad times, when we're beaten up, jailed and mobbed, working hard, working late, working without eating, with pure, clear head, steady hand, in gentleness, holiness, and honest love. When we're telling the truth and when God's showing his power, when we're doing our best setting things right, when we're praised and when we're blamed, slandered and honored, true to our word though distrusted, ignored by the world but recognized by God, technically alive, terrifically alive, though rumored to be dead, beaten within an inch of our lives but refusing to die, immersed in tears yet always filled with deep joy, living on handouts yet enriching many, having nothing, having it all.
You know, and I am convinced that God will help us stay on our post unswervingly when we keep our eyes on him and stand in the truth that God does love us, not on our feelings. Don't give up and don't stop praying. Regardless of our tears in the night, and there are tears in the night, God is at work. Have you ever thought about how much easier, though, our lives would be if we didn't face struggle? I often think, oh, I've had enough. No more. I've had enough struggle. But what if we didn't ever have any struggle? What if a mother's heart never ached? I don't know that I can actually imagine that. All as I can say, if life never challenged us, what kind of people would we be? If our faith was never stretched, how strong would our faith be? If we didn't know what it was like to struggle, would we really know what it's like to triumph? If we didn't face hard times, would we run to God for his loving grace and protection? Or would we actually run from it because we're so self-reliant? I talked a few years ago about the Red Sea. God didn't remove the Red Sea, did he? He parted it. And you know, God doesn't always remove our problems, but he will make a way for us to get through. I was reminded at school last week of a song, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. We're not going to be free from struggle because Jesus himself struggled. But it's how we live through that struggle, and it's about what we learn from that struggle. You know, my world has crashed many times, but I'm still walking with Jesus and allowing him to be the doctor of all the brokenness I have faced or may continue to face. And I believe the key is to keep our eyes on Jesus. Let Jesus hold you close, carry you, because he will not let you go. He will wipe away every tear. He will bring healing. He will bring peace. He will bring restoration. Even if nothing makes sense or nothing seems right and you question everyone and everything, if you hold on to God and his and your faith in God's promises, you will get through it. And Matt encouraged us last month that our faith should be evident. It should be joyous. It should be extravagant. It should be vibrant. It should not be based on our challenges and circumstances. And Sophia asked us the question of how big is your story about the love of God in your life? What does our faith look like, church? You know, if you're tired today, I want to encourage you to not give up. God sees you. Hang in there. I want to tell mothers that our children are worth it. They are worth every sacrifice that we make for them. Our tears, our arguments, maybe we're in the when we're in the closet rocking back and forth, they're worth that too. Our children are precious in God's sight. God, in all his wisdom, looked down and chose you to be the mother, or you to be in the spaces that you're in as mothers. He loves you, and you need to know that. I recently heard someone say, if God had a fridge, your photo would be on it. And I thought, that is so cool, isn't it? Unless you're like me and you don't like things on your fridge. But if God had a fridge, your photo would be on it. Let us be real as mothers, but let us be different as Christian mothers. Through the struggle, may the hope, peace and love of God be evident in our lives. And I just want to leave you with that line of the song we listened to start with. And I want you to hear the words from the Lord Jesus Christ. And it said, it was all to say on Mother's Day, my love for you was strong. Thank you.